If you would turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I appreciate Brother Myron being here. Brother Myron's my right-hand man at church, and he's a glutton for punishment because he comes here to hear me preach too. But anyway, he's a good guy. And in a little bit, he's going to give you a little booklet. The booklet is called, and I've got one in my pocket, I think. It looks like this, and it says, "Is the Bible really true? You decide." And I developed this. Actually, it was Pastor Parsons' idea, because he had me put together some of my lessons from my Christian Evidences class. And he wanted me to make up a month of devotions from the same concept. And so these are just, there are 17 lessons here, but it's written for skeptics. If you've got family that doesn't believe in the Bible, you learn these lessons and you show it to them. They'll help you. Brother Myron's going to pass them out in a little bit. Those of you that have already got them, I'm going to throw a hymnal at you if you read them during my preaching. Yeah, I can probably hit you, brother. But anyway, I'm just messing with you. But Brother Chamberlain won't get demerits or anything like that. But anyway, I've entitled the message, "Getting Your Feet Wet." I want you to understand the concept. I'm not going to say I've never been concerned or even sometimes even afraid. I have been afraid a little bit of the things that the Lord's called me to do. But I've found Him to be faithful every step of the way. We're getting ready to start a church we started the church in Kansas City. I'd never been to Kansas City, never been. A couple times I've been west of the Mississippi. I went to Montana to help a church planter one time. Helped a church planter in Wyoming one time. But I didn't know anybody out there in Missouri at all. And had a man call me and let me know that this preacher's going to start a church. Well, it turns out that that's where the Lord wanted me. Was it easy? No. I was 2 years old when my parents moved us to Lakeland, Florida. And I'd lived there until I was 54. To move to Missouri, the Midwest, never been out that, but like I said, except to help those two church planters. But you know what I found? That everything God calls you to do, He's going to help you do it. Amen. He's got to help you do it, or it's not going to happen. Amen. And so what I want to look at some things here. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. This book is worthy. Amen. Because it comes from the one that's worthy.
Amen.
But let's look at, starting with chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. You know a little bit, this is where the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. Verse 7 it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." I want you to think about that. They're going to stand in the river. Look at verse 9 that says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know that I'm nothing. That there's no good in me, just like Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. All my goodness is as filthy rags. So Lord, even now I need your Holy Spirit. I need him to fill me. I need him to speak through me. I need him to filter through me. Anything that he wants said, I want it said. Anything he doesn't want said, Lord, help that not to come forth. Lord, these students, they need something from you. They don't need anything from me. So, Lord, we're coming before you, begging you to give each one of us something that'll help us, not only today, but the rest of our lives. And we'll give all the honor and the glory and the praise to the one that's worthy, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to give you this first point, and the first point is stepping in the Jordan. I want you to think about this, and one of the things we see here is the fact that this doesn't make any sense. What are they doing? They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They're going into the Promised Land. Well, how does standing in the river help you get into the Promised Land? One of the things we see is the fact that at that time, the Bible tells us that the river was at flood stage. I want you to think about that. One of the things that you need to realize is that when God does something, he does it when it's absolutely just about impossible to explain away. Yeah. The river was at flood stage. God wanted it that way because it required more faith. When it looks impossible, and I want you to get that. If you've never written this down, I want you to write it down. God specializes in the impossible. That's where he shines the most. And when he's got something that you think is impossible, and I tell the church from time to time, I said, I really believe, this is my opinion, Lord might change, straighten me out on it, but I believe there are times when the Lord kind of calls one of the angels over and nudges him with his elbow and says, watch this, I'm going to blow that little guy's mind. You know, I've got a God that does jaw-dropping things all the time. Yeah. They said that they couldn't get a church started in Bartow. We're getting ready next month. We're going to celebrate our 10th anniversary.
Amen.
There have been numerous tries to start church in Bartow. And believe me, there's nothing special about me. It's just the fact that I believe God, and I've got a bulldog tenacity. When the will of God comes and he says, Brian, this is what I want, I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm there with you. I'm going to watch you work. There are going to be times in your life when God calls you to do something that you cannot see yourself doing.
Yeah.
I still see myself as a industrial painter at the phosphate mines. That's where I spent 20 years. I was at the phosphate mines for 25 years. The Lord called me out of that to go to Bible college as a 45-year-old freshman. Don't be 45 years old when you get back in college. I was 58 when I graduated. You guys make the most of it while you're here. Okay? Make the most of it. Now, I've said this many times. When I was on staff here as dean of students, and one of the things I'd always tell my students, I loved every class I took here, but none of them enough to take them twice.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, get that. Hang on to it. If you, because what you're doing is if you have to take one of them twice, you're missing out on another one. How many of you would like to have to hold off on your graduation because you let one class slip by? Or you didn't do any papers for this class? Dr. Pitts tells me all the time about a guy that I actually went to school with. And he refused to do the term papers. He took the class 4 times and still failed it all 4 times because he refused to do the term papers. I got news for you. That's nuts. Don't waste your money like that. If you're not going to do the class, go find a job or something. If you're here, God has called you here. He's called you to finish.
Amen.
When I came, like I said, I was a 45-year-old freshman. I graduated in 2003. And then they brought me on staff in March of 2004. By the time I graduated with my bachelor degree, I already had 24 master's credits. You say, how did you do that? Well, they had class, I'd look at the class schedule, and they had classes that I didn't need, so there was a hole in my schedule, so I took a class for master's. Don't waste your time. If there's a hole in your schedule, take another class. Take a master's class. Then they brought me on staff and I finished my master's and I got my doctorate while I was there. But I'm saying all that to say this. I want you guys, and the Lord can use, and every single one of you, God's got a plan for. But there's nothing, but no difference between you and the kids we preach in the juvenile jails from, except for the fact you guys haven't messed up like they have. But you can.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. Just one stupid decision, and you could be just like them. I want to get back into the message because the first thing it says is they were stepping in the Jordan. Do you realize how much faith it had that it took for those priests to say, okay, Joshua, this is what the Lord told you to tell us to do, so we're going to carry the ark and we're going to step in the brink of the water, the brim of the water. And what they're going to do is they're going to stand there until the entire group of the children of Israel pass over. Now I want you to understand, look at what it says in verse 13. And it says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. I want you to get that. What would it have been like to see that water just pile up? I don't know how many stories high it went up, but the Lord said it was going to stand. It was going to stack up as if there was a wall, a glass wall there. The water's just backed up. I want you to get this. Let's go over one more place. And look at verse 17 there in chapter 3. And it says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood on firm ground, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. Dry ground, not muddy.
Amen.
Dry ground. All the water quit.
Yeah.
I want you to think about it. You serve a God that can do amazing things. In fact, the Bible says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Yes.
Your imagination cannot challenge the Lord and His abilities. What you need, you can get. Number one, if you do things His way and you still don't have it, you keep praying. You keep praying. You got a loved one you want to see saved? You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep trying to find a way. I remember reading a book on soul winning from John R. Rice. And one of the things I remember seeing, reading about him, is he had a burden for his brother to get saved. And his brother lived in another state. And he just got a burden for his brother. He said, Lord, I got to see my brother. I got to see him get saved. I want to see him get saved. He prayed and prayed and prayed. One of the things that John R. Rice is known for saying is, every failure is a prayer failure. What happened was his brother called him after he had prayed for several weeks, and his brother called him and said, I'm going to come down for a visit. I'm not sure why I'm coming. But Dr. Rice knew why. Because he had been praying. You need something from God, you need to pray. You need to keep praying. These priests, they were standing in the water. Not only did they step in the water, but my second point is they were standing in the water. That doesn't make any sense. But His ways are not our ways, right? And so what we see here is the fact that they were staying in the water, and there were about 3 million children of Israel that had to cross. Now, I read after one commentary, and he said that if they crossed the Jordan at 2,000 a minute, it would take 8 hours to get 1 million people across. A million people across in 8 hours, you got 3 million, not counting the cattle and all the sheep and all the goats and all their possessions and everything. I want you to think about that. I bet those priests got tired. You get tired of serving the Lord sometimes? Sometimes we have a tendency to, the devil will get on your shoulder. He'll say, Lord, why am I doing this? Why do you want me to do this, Lord? This is silly, Lord. Don't you go there. Don't you go there. He's got a reason. He's got a reason for everything He calls you to do. The rules here at Landmark Baptist College, you may say, well, that's silly. That doesn't make any sense at all. What they're trying to get you to do here at the college is to learn to obey the rules, whether you agree with them or not. Because if you can learn to live within the rules here, that'll carry over when you're graduated, when you're in the ministry. If you can't follow the rules here, you're probably not going to graduate. As Dean of Students, I had the misfortune of being involved in the expulsion process of several students. And the fun part, they delegated to me, Dr. Lewis and Dr. Stringer, they delegated to me, was driving them home. Can you imagine driving an expelled student home, one of them all the way to Fort Myers? Some of them to the airport. And it broke my heart. But the truth is, the rules are there to help you learn within the boundaries. To live there. To find the boundaries and live there. If you're going to fail, this is the philosophy that we were taught. If you're going to fail, we want you to fail here at the college, not ruin a ministry somewhere after you graduate. But I want you to think, those priests, they were standing there holding the ark. And they were holding the staves or the rods that went through the rings on the ark. But they were waiting there for all the people to go across. What if they decided, I'm done. I can't handle this. This is too long. I want you to think, where are those people headed? The promised land? The people, you don't know how many people are not going to make it to the promised land if you quit. I want you to get it. If you quit on Jesus, you might be the only hope your family has of going to heaven. Those people were relying on the priest to get into the promised land. And there are people that are going to be relying on you, whether you know it or not, to get into the promised land. Brother Myron and I, Monday night, go over to a jail in Orlando. And I'm talking to Pastor Parsons about trying to get some young men from the college to get involved in the jail ministry. And I can tell you, it'll light your fire up every time you preach in a place like that and you see somebody get saved. Every time, just about every time, you'll see. And Brother Myron and I know, we'll see, a lot of times we'll see 4, 5, 6 get saved at a time. I've been in some detention centers where there was 40 kids there and 25 of them get saved. Now, you don't see them come to church. You're probably not going to get a chance to baptize them, but I believe I'll see them in heaven. But we went the other night, and the door was closed. They were having a problem at the jail, didn't have enough staff, so what they did was they canceled our service on us. So we decided we were going to do something else. We were in Orlando. We weren't going to waste our time. What we did, we went to a place called the Fun Spot. And we passed out, I've made up some of these dinosaur footprint cards. It has a dinosaur footprint over top of a human footprint. And I took the picture in 2009 when I was on deputation in Kansas City. And we passed those dinosaur footprint cards out, and it really blows people away to see that dinosaurs and people really did live at the same time, just like the Bible says.
Amen.
What we did was we weren't going to waste our time. We felt like that might be where the Lord wanted us anyway. That's why they canceled on us. I'm saying this, that there are people that are counting on you, sticking with it, stay in the course, because they're not going to make it to heaven if you don't. There are people that won't go to heaven if you don't. But there's another place I want to go. My third point, the first point, stepping in the Jordan. The second point is staying in the Jordan. And look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. And it says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, say, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. One of the things that you need to do, and I encourage you, in fact, Dr. Pitts encouraged me years ago, I don't know which class it was, prayer class or whatever, but he told me to, you hang on to those and make you up a blessing folder. You say, what do you mean, preacher? There are people that are going to give you a note, a card, something special. In my Bible, my preaching Bible, I've got a little perforated piece of paper in there. One of the little girls that rode my school bus when I was in Kansas City gave me. It reminds me to pray for Gracie. But you know what we fail to do too many times is we fail to brag on Jesus and the things that he's done for us. Yeah. And you know what happens sometimes? You forget. Mm-hmm. And by the way, forgetting gets worse as you get older. Ask me how I know. Amen. But what you do is you make a note. I'm putting together some soul winning stories. Some of the soul winning stories that the Lord's allowed me to be a part of has just been crazy. I got to lead a dental assistant to Christ while I'm sitting in the dentist chair. Most of us are just concerned about the... But I was concerned about her soul. Got a chance to lead a young lady to Christ while I was sitting on the x-ray table. They're out there everywhere. But I want you to write down, I want you to keep, if you haven't been doing it, start today. And write down the things that God has done for you. The amazing things that God has done for you. I share this story. Some of you have probably heard it before. But one of the things that I needed when we moved to Missouri is I still needed, once we got out there, I still needed confirmation. And we moved out there. And the church we joined that was going to start the church in Kansas City, the church we joined, there was a man there named Jeff. And Jeff came up to me one of the first services I got there. And he says, so you're from Lakeland, Florida, huh? I said, yeah. He said, do you know Herman Deaton? Now, you know how many people there are in Lakeland. And I looked at him funny and he said, do you know Herman Deaton? I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, Herman Deaton is my uncle, but I've never met him. And he lives in Lakeland. You know what I got to do? I got to tell him about his uncle. Because I sat on the same deacon board with his uncle. His uncle was a fine man. He was already in heaven by that time. But I got to be a blessing to Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff got to be a blessing to me because what God did in that meeting was he confirmed to me that I was right smack dab in the great big middle of God's will. I was where God wanted me. Even though it was 1,500 miles away from anything that I thought for a billion. God's got something special. Don't sell it cheap. Don't be like Esau and sell your birthright for a bowl of pottage. Don't sell it cheap. God's got some special things. Can you imagine standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord says, this is what I had for you, but you went the wrong way. I told a story a while ago in class about a family that was in the jungles in South America. And I'd heard it secondhand. There may be some of the details that aren't correct, but I think the general issue is, and it's a true story, this family was in the jungles down in South America, and they had been there for several years as a mom and a dad and the children, three children. And what they did was, the mom had a dream one night that one of the children got snake bit. Just a dream. But that dream created such a fear in her that she made sure that the family left the jungles and went back to the States. Oh, a little while later, maybe a year or two later, one of the children was playing under their trailer where they live, their mobile home where they live. That child was snake bit. The dad, what he did was he grabbed the child up, got in the car, and as he was taking off, he ran over one of the other children. They lost two children that day. Why? Because they were not where God wanted them. God wouldn't do that. Don't tell me. His protection is very strong over us when we're right where we need to be. He's called us to do these things. I want you to get this in the fact that when God does something special for you, you're going to need those blessings. You're going to need those memorials. You're going to need those times to encourage you when the times get lean. Because they will. The devil get on your shoulder and say, "Hey, you really think God's going to bless you doing this?" Guess what? How many of you believe that Jesus died for you? I won't see your hand. Should see every hand. How many of you believe that Jesus would have died just for you if you were the only one need to be saved? That's what my Bible says. Let's go to someplace. Let's go to, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. A couple verses here I want to finish up with. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at what it says in verse, we know we're familiar with verse 10. That's where it talks about global warming. We'll read it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, that's global warming, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Look at verse 11. This is where I want you to focus. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness, holy conversation and godliness? Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. A lot of people are familiar with Romans 8:28. But there's some really good verses after that too. Look at verse 31. And it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." I want you to understand, if God sent Jesus to the cross and would have done it just for any one of us, why would he hold back good things from us? Amen. Why would we get into a situation where the storm is overwhelming us? Why is it that he would let us stand at the brink of the river and let us drown?
Right.
He won't.
Amen.
If he tells you to do it, he's got a plan. Now there's the issue. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." You can't follow him unless you hear his voice.
Amen.
Too many times we're paying attention to a lot of other things. The devil is real good at distracting us. You young people, be careful with those crazy phones. Okay? Don't waste time on your phones. Because time is life. Everybody gets 168 hours a week. Why is it that some people get more done than others? Because they don't waste time. But I'm saying that to say this. God's got a plan for every one of you. And I want you to picture, close your eyes a second. Don't go to sleep. I want you to picture on one side the people that might be won to Christ because you stay with Jesus. That you stay in the ministry. That you don't ruin your testimony. Now look on the other side. And here's these people over here that get to go to hell because you don't stay with Jesus. That you do ruin your testimony. That you don't stay in school and finish your course. Okay, open your eyes. Which way do you really want to go? Who gets to go to hell because you don't stay the course? That's the value. That's the issue.
Amen.
And I'm saying all that to say this. I don't want to come back to chapel and see some of you missing unless you've graduated. Okay?
Amen.
I want to make sure that you stay the course. Because it'll break your heart. It'll break my heart. It'll break Dr. Pitt's heart. It'll break Dr. Morgan's heart. But you know who it'll break the heart of the most? The Lord Jesus. Don't quit. There are people that are trying to, that are counting on you to stand in the river so they can get to the other side. So they can get to the promised land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, I thank you for each one of these students. I thank you for giving us an opportunity to see you work. But Lord, it took a lot of faith for those priests, not only to step in the water, but to stay in the water. And then they put the stones in the water as a memorial. Lord, that's what we all need to do. We need those memorials to keep us serving you. Keep us reminded of the great, great things that you've done for us. Lord, we ask you to bind Satan as he tries to come against the students. And we pray for you just to help each one stay the course. The amazing thing is for all of us, it's just to watch God work when we do things His way. Lord, use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.